Last year, a purple sea monster emerged out of nowhere at the Navy Yard in deep South Philadelphia.
This giant creature swinging its big octopus limbs coming out of the windows of this abandoned industrial building.
I know, I wondered, what the heck is that?
Well, it turned out it was art.
The sea monster was followed by another piece of interactive art, the cocoon. A giant suspended entanglement made out of pounds and pounds of packing tape.
Just a series of translucent walled pods and tunnels that are connected to each other. It's like a maze, trying not to fall into the crevices.
In the abyss. It sounds like you went in.
I did. I went in with my 7-year-old daughter. She was a little freaked out by it, but it was fun.
Both exhibits were temporary. The cocoon just wrapped up last month. But how is the Navy Yard using public art to promote itself and draw people there? And just what is the city's plan for this huge underused space? I'm Annette John Hall. This is The Why. Philadelphia Inquirer business reporter Jacob Adelman has been writing about the Navy Yard and the cocoon.
So the Philadelphia Industrial Development Corporation commissioned it. They worked with a group of curators who call themselves Group X. Their members are unidentified. I interviewed Prima Gupta, the PIDC vice president in charge of the Navy Yard. And she wouldn't tell me who the members are either. I think they're going after sort of a mysterious sort of Banksy thing.
While they did not ask us to sign a non-disclosure agreement, I have told them that we're not disclosing their identities. I think it's more fun that way.
So the PIDC, they're a partnership between the Chamber of Commerce and the city.
Mm. PIDC is an economic development agency, and our mission is to maximize jobs and taxes in the city of Philadelphia to support its growth.
One of the things that's in their portfolio is the Navy Yard, and they've been working for decades to figure out what to do with it and to develop it.
You know, I can see why, because the Navy Yard is this thing that is in the city that hardly nobody goes to, but it does have a history. Can you tell me a little bit about the Navy Yard?
So it has been there since the 1870s.
The birthplace of the U.S. Navy is in Philadelphia. It's, you know, one of those things that was probably credited to New York and Hamilton. But, you know, as we all know, all that stuff happened in Philadelphia.
Before the Civil War, there was a smaller naval facility farther north, kind of next to the neighborhood that we call Pennsport now.
Mm-hmm. The Navy outgrew that facility, or more accurately, the city sort of closed in around that facility. They needed more space, and they came down south to League Island.
And that became the Navy Yard. And for a long time, it was a huge military base. They built and repaired ships. I think that at its busiest time, during World War II, something like 40,000 people were working there.
And were military personnel living there, too?
Yeah, there were military personnel living there. There were barracks buildings, and some of those barracks buildings are still there.
It closed eventually. Why did it close?
Yeah, it closed alongside a whole wave of military base closures nationwide.
It no longer made sense to have shipbuilding so close to a city center because shipbuilding technology changed to nuclear propulsion.
And at that point, the military gave it back to the city. And, you know, since then, the city's been, or the PIDC on the city's behalf, has been working to develop it.
So what's there now?
So it's a really big space. It's something like 1,200 acres.
That's huge.
Yeah.
The size of Center City, Philadelphia.
Most of the development has taken place in an 80-acre chunk that the PIDC carved out for the city soon after they had taken it over. And they've built a whole bunch of architecturally interesting low-rise and mid-rise office buildings in that smaller area. GlaxoSmithKline has its headquarters there. Those buildings are built around a very nice park. The running track and hammocks.
We have areas that are very industrial that have shipbuilding companies and maritime repair companies. We have a really wonderful collection of historic buildings that is occupied by Urban Outfitters and their world headquarters.
But then beyond the stuff that's been developed or redeveloped there, there's still a whole lot of abandoned and empty space. Mm. And you see some unusual things, like you might see deer run by. There's one abandoned building there. It's an old industrial building, and somehow the basement was flooded. And there are actually these kind of overgrown tropical fish, and they just swim around in the, you know, the flooded basement of this abandoned building.
So are people living in the Navy Yard?
So when the city took over the Navy Yard from the federal government, there was a deed restriction that said that people can't live there. I think that they were afraid of there being too many people around some of the sensitive military stuff that that was still going on. Recently, though, the city has negotiated a deal with the military where they are going to be allowed to start allowing people to live there.
In the historic core in particular, there are a couple old buildings and a great riverfront site that we think could really serve as the downtown for the Navy Yard, an area of restaurants, cafes, activity, and we think the place where people would live.
Basically, it's going to have, they're hoping, a dense sort of urban sort of feel.
Hmm.
When they made this solicitation looking for developers, they sent around, you know, some images of what they're hoping it'll look like. And it's sort of a combination of historic buildings and like sleek, glassy new ones. And you see this pedestrian street just full of people. There's a guy walking his bike and there's another guy walking his dog. And for some reason in the picture, the dog is wearing sunglasses. I'm not sure what that's about.
Well, it's because it's always sunny and at the Navy Yard, Jacob. When we come back,
it's not a neighborhood that you could stumble upon, that you could go through to get somewhere else. You need to come here deliberately.
This is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall. I'm talking to Philadelphia Inquirer reporter Jacob Adelman about Philadelphia's Navy Yard and the unusual attempts to make it into a new neighborhood. Jacob, when you wrote about the Cocoon, you said having a public art project like that is something urban planners call placemaking. What is that?
One of the people I've talked to about this sort of thing is Harris Steinberg. He's an urban planning expert who's at Drexel now.
Placemaking that works well shines a spotlight on kind of forgotten parts of the city in a way that can bring people to those places because there's a buzz about it, because there's interesting art or entertainment or food.
I think the idea of placemaking is that, you know, even if you're just trying to develop an area for one purpose, let's say for offices, if you just put those offices there and nothing else, they're probably not going to be very successful because people aren't going to want to come work there. It's just going to be an unpleasant place to work.
Right.
So the idea is you mix in, you know, restaurants or a gym or a supermarket, things that people need in their daily lives, you know, maybe even places for people to live too.
Yeah.
And that sort of makes it a more vibrant sort of environment for whatever you had originally imagined as the primary use.
You really had to lead with public space as opposed to allowing the developers to lead like we had done in the past. We have a waterfront Walmart as a result.
But it's not all long-term leases. I think some of the most successful examples are kind of pop-up type stuff, like Spruce Street Harbor Park.
Mm-hmm.
They brought in Adirondack chairs and hammocks, and they turned some shipping containers into little booths for people to buy food and drinks. And suddenly people just started showing up there in the summer. It's a very nice place to come hang out.
Hmm.
They took a forlorn and forsaken part of the riverfront down by the Columbus statue and made it the place to be, which ultimately then kind of generates further economic activity. People come back. They might buy a house nearby.
And now they announced that they're looking for developers to actually do sort of permanent intensive development to the area just to the north and south. And I think that what they were thinking when they started off with the Spruce Street Harbor Park is that if they want to find a good use for the area that they own, they need to get people out there.
But Jacob, can this work for the Navy Yard that's so far down in South Philly? And I don't even think that there's any transportation, public transportation, that will get you there.
Yeah, it's not as easy to get to without a car. There are plans in the distant future to extend the Broad Street Line into the Navy Yard, but who knows if that'll ever happen.
One of the challenges of the Navy Yard is that you have to come here intentionally. It's not a neighborhood that you could stumble upon, that you could go through to get somewhere else. You need to come here deliberately.
So I think that's why they're doing stuff like the Cocoon, because, I mean, there's no place else to see something like that.
One of the things that we've been really focused on is giving people excuses to come down to the Navy Yard.
You put it there and you get the word out on social media. And, you know, if thousands of people went down there to check out the Cocoon, then that's thousands of people who may not have been there before and, you know, spent a little time to check it out. So it's not like people are going to, you know, come down there once and suddenly start signing leases. But, you know, as an early step toward, you know, this larger goal of getting it into people's consciousness that this is, you know, not this crazy, remote, out-of-the-way part of the city, but something that can actually be woven into the fabric of the city.
So are there any more plans for projects like these, art projects, to draw people?
So when I was there, they were handing out postcards, and they highlighted that last year they did the Sea Monster, and this year it's the Cocoon, and they had sort of a box with a question mark, sort of enticing us to consider what might be coming. So apparently so.
I cannot comment on future projects on the horizon, but I assure you we're going to do something wonderful.
Well, Jacob, thanks as always for coming in.
Sure, thank you.
That was Philadelphia Inquirer business reporter Jacob Adelman. The Y is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Benyakov, Alex Stern, and Kelsey Hansen, under the editorial direction of Katie Colinari. We had editing help on this episode from Ariella Cohen. What monster do you think should pop up in the Navy Yard next? Tweet me at AnnetteJH. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow.